To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside. Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And Anne-Marie, we are here for a very special episode today.
We're going to have a very special episode.
A very special episode.
Serious topics to talk about tonight.
Yes, I... Oh, wait a second. Where'd Anne-Marie go? It's the masked woman with the fairy wand. I don't know.
There are too many props sitting here. I can't resist.
No, but we are here to talk about Once Upon a Time with our lovely chat room. I will say Mondays, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com. That's live.universebox.com if you want to join the chat. But we're here to play you the big live panel we did a few weeks back in Anaheim, California at RegalCon 2015. Now, this is going to be a fantabulous panel here.
Fantabulous!
I think I do a pretty good job of introducing the people on the panel during the panel, so we won't do that here or anything, but I will say, stick around after the panel. We're going to do story time, and I'm going to tell you, with a little bit of magic juice, everything that went down at RegalCon. I'll tell you my whole experience in about 15 minutes. Not that much happened. It was only a few days.
Yeah. Nothing,
so I can fit it into about 15
nothing
minutes.
Nothing really happened. He didn't talk to any celebrities.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But without further ado, and I hope we see you over in chat at live.universebox.com while this is playing, we're going to play the RegalCon 2015 Greetings from Storybrooke panel. Enjoy. Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I am not Anne-Marie DeSimone.
No, Anne-Marie is not here, unfortunately. But this is Becca Canote, and we're pleased to have all you guys here today. Definitely. Have you guys been enjoying RegalCon so far? Excellent. You know what? Before we get started and everything, I thought, you know, just kind of liven the room up a little bit. We're going to do a little exercise. Can everyone stand up for a second? Okay, I'm waiting for everybody. Everybody? Okay, sit back down. We're good. All right, let's go. Okay, so before we get started, as I mentioned, my co-host Anne-Marie isn't going to be able to be here, but
no.
I went to check my email this morning. She had a video file for me. She said she wanted to send you guys a special greetings. I'm sure it's just something like, oh, I wish I was there, blah, 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 have a good time and stuff. But if they want to go ahead and play that, can we play that? Play the clip, please.
Hey, guys.
There we go.
She's really going to become the dark one. And Rumpelstiltskin is German.
He's German.
And Emma's going to become a fairy. And Henry is actually going to turn into a lizard.
Well, thank you very much, Anne-Marie, for that very sweet message-ish. I don't think any of those were real spoilers except for Rumpel being German, though. So good to know. Okay, so let's see. What we're going to do to start off with is we're going to go ahead and talk about a little bit about this past week's episode. So, Becca, what did you think of the episode overall?
Just gonna sneakily pull my notes out here. None of you see
mine
this.
Here too. It's cool. By the way, for listeners of the podcast, this is my official greetings from Storybrooke notebook that we do all the notes in. The entire season 4 is in here.
If anyone wants to buy that after the panel, I did not steal it. Or won't be. I mean, it's. Don't tell Bill.
Okay, I'll put that in here.
I think my best reaction to this week's episode was when I went to go rewatch it on Hulu this morning. I pull it up and the description on Hulu's text was one sentence and it just said, Regina confronts her mommy issues, period. I turned to my roommate and I was like, that's it. That's the whole show right there.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, I mean, and we were talking about this in the heroes and villains panel on, Friday, but Regina's kind of like the main character. I mean, I know Emma's the one on the posters, but Regina's the main character.
Yeah, Emma's in the little like Hulu promo, watch it this Sunday. I'm like, no, okay, you're just, you got a sword. It looks cool, but yeah, I mean, it was really, how appropriate we're sitting here on Mother's Day talking about an entire episode
about
mommy issues. Just, you know, little self-over-identification in it. It was just like, oh man, yeah, that was me and my mom, except I never turned into a dragon.
Yet.
Shh, I know, seriously, if only.
No, but one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is kind of the role of fate in Once Upon a Time. Now, last week, one of the big lines was our actions are our own, but fate pushes us. And you have the wolf in the road and everything like that. So, you know, in the Once Upon a Time universe, there's free will, but fate pushes us to make bad choices is what they're saying. You know, so it sounds kind of, this fate phenomenon sounds kind of similar to the author in that it's a force above, like, all the other forces, kind of manipulating the story or, you know, their lives and everything. But I kind of feel like, fate, since, they revealed the author, they still needed that kind of, like, superior force or whatever. So they've introduced fate and, you know, the guy who puts wolves in roads and things like that. One thing that the wolf and Lily showed, that whatever fate is, it has an effect outside of Storybrooke. Because we know we haven't seen, except for the dragon, we haven't seen much magic outside of Storybrooke. But obviously, whoever or whatever fate is has some sort of sway in our world, in the real world and everything. So, like, I've just been kind of, like, wondering about, like, what do you think? Do you think that this is actually going to be, like, a revealed character? Do you think it could be the sorcerer? Like, what do you think, Becca?
I mean, of course I would hope it would be the sorcerer. I mean, we've had such build-up with the hat and the apprentice and everything that I feel like if you're going to go down that road, you have to introduce a sorcerer. Whether it's you know, Jensen, as we've known him from kind of Fantasia, or some other character yet to be revealed, you have to. You can't introduce everything and build that up and not have a sorcerer and you have an apprentice in a hat. Come on. And I'm hoping that's either something we get in the finale or has a big play in the 5A, you know, part of the season of what could happen in the finale and things that we've led to in here that we'll have to see play out with heroes and villains. What's his role going to be? Because there has to be some kind of creature, being, person, dude, entity that gets in there with this fate card. Because it has been so huge to 5B and 4B. And what can you do to change your fate? What can you do to control your destiny? And, you know, not going to do a bad, terrible, brave impression here, but, you know, I could have.
No, and it's kind of weird too, because I feel like the point is slightly like thematically muddy just because of the episode. I believe it was the Heroes and Villains episode last season where they find the page and they kind of like wrapped up that scene between Robin and Regina. Oh, you are in charge of your life. And then this half season, oh no, there's an author, there's a sorcerer, there's this guy, there's that guy. But I have a little theory about it, and that's basically like, I've been thinking a lot about the sorcerer and everything and why he's trapped in that little stone room down there. And I think, you know, there's someone, and I mean, Anne-Marie mentioned it in the video, there's someone, a shady character on once that has been shady from the get-go, and that's Blue Fairy, Kegelicious. And I think that her and, the sorcerer had some sort of like falling out or like they were both vying for control. And I think Blue Fairy trapped the sorcerer down there, and because the sorcerer was trapped down there and he couldn't do anything, he had to hire sort of like, I kind of call them like a fingers on his hand to kind of manipulate the world around him to maybe free himself. Like, and they all start with like the author, the dark one, the savior. And so I think that, you know, every
these big characters with the at the beginning of their name, that it's kind of the sorcerer trying to get out of there so he can finally take Blue down once and for all. Because, I mean, do we want to see that, or do we want to see at least Blue to find out why Blue is so shady, I think, probably?
Oh, yeah, I mean...
What's that?
She said she hoped she'd be taken down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I would kind of like almost to see, like, just kind of like a Blue revealed, like, super magical, like, that'd be fun.
Like Galadriel status when she's in her crazy dream world?
Yeah.
I want to. I could see that showdown.
Like,
that could
be fire.
Oh, that, yeah. Do we have that kind of budget?
I don't know. Well, the Chernabog probably took the fire wing budget for sure.
Damn,
so what's your point you want to talk about, Becca?
Oh, man. Like a point? You made me come up with points.
Yes.
Honestly, I spent most of this episode just really, really waiting for Lily to finally turn into a dragon, because I was like, come on, you can't tell me there's going to be a dragon. You can't build up this descendant of Maleficent and not give me a lot of really good dragon time. We've got some good dragon time, and I want more dragons. I just want a lot of dragons. I'm the kid watching Game of Thrones who was like, there's not enough dragons. Excuse me. Dragons, please. I hope we see more of her character. I kind of like the little arc that she's had, and she sort of has come to terms with the fact that, you know, the whole conversation of fate, of she just thinks she's this terrible person. Everything is not going to go her way. You know, even when she tries to do good, she makes a bad decision. And I like that we kind of get to see Maleficent be like, oh, revenge isn't really worth it, even though I'm kind of, I don't know. I wasn't totally into that, but I sort of, the line where she's like, let's go be like badass dragon bitches together. That's what I want to see more of. I like when you can have this resolution of these character moments and people coming to the new ground and sort of wrapping up moments, which I think was such a big part of this episode, was, you know, Emma kind of finally forgiving her parents and, you know, Lily sort of accepting that she has to try and find a common ground with her mom for what she did. And
yeah.
And what this is what do we get out of that then? What can we see now that these little storylines that have been so important so far, the conflict and the strife between, you know, especially mother-daughter units, is sort of getting resolved. So do we get to see the happy side of that, of what comes out of them doing things, which should just be a lot of badass dragon bitches?
Yeah, well, I've actually been thinking that, and it was kind of felt like a dog whistle or something when they had Maleficent in Regina's office.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I almost feel like they're aiming towards maybe next season making Maleficent the mayor of Storybrooke, and maybe something happens to Regina.
I mean,
and,
she'd probably be a better mayor.
Obviously,
than Mayor
then Lily would become a much bigger character.
Oh, exactly. And I feel like you can't introduce a character like that and then just get rid of her. I mean, she turns into a dragon. Come on.
I really like the way they set her up, though, where they just kind of introduced her in a one-off kind of flashback last half season, where we're like, they'll probably come back to it someday. And no, it's a major part of the story.
Actually,
now,
that's a very important character.
Okay, well, I guess we have one other guest we want to bring up, and this is if you guys listen to our podcast, you probably listen to one or two other Once podcasts. You probably listen to this guy's podcast, Jeff Roney from the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Come on up,
yay!
Jeff.
Jeff, Jeff, Jeff,
Jeff,
Jeff, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
You're everybody on the big couch.
It doesn't work. Hello.
There work. Is it on it now?
Hello.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Slim Shady, Blue Shady. It's all shady.
So, Jeff, how have you been enjoying RegalCon this weekend?
Very good.
Yeah. Just a blast, right?
It's been really cool. It's smaller than Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And just as fun.
Yeah.
I can't bump into people in the hallway at Comic-Con. I can't hear.
Mm. Yeah, like I most of my convention experience has to do with a Dragon Con in Atlanta, where I'm from. I think that's where I met you, Becca.
It is Dragon Con, yeah. We had a fun time at Dragon Con.
But that's just like 25,000 people packed into a 10,000 people bag. Like, right. It's just insane. And so it's been nice going around here and everything to just kind of be very relaxed. And, you know, there's no crowding in the halls. The only time I even had any sort of like feeling like crowding was at the cocktail party the other night, just because it was so hot, because there were so many people there. But it was still such a blast, though. Mm-hmm. And the ball last night.
That was great.
I did so much not dancing. It was ridiculous.
Well, Gil McKinney danced for you, me, and the other people. Give it up. Give it up for Gil.
The dance group is still here from earlier.
That's
cool. Right.
Just make me feel bad about not being.
You better
here
watch out. Like, I was actually sitting back by you guys during that panel, and like the first time you did it, I was like, ah! Like, you guys totally almost took my ear out. If you do that again, I'm going to sing Part of Your World, and you don't want me to, for sure.
No, no, no. Please. I mean, it's okay. You can.
Okay. Part of Your World.
No.
Jeff, what do you think about season 4? Last week's episode.
I enjoyed it. I liked the little moments when Maleficent was really kind of being motherly to Lily as a dragon. Oh, you know, her wing clipped the tree. Oh, it's like her watching her baby walk for the first time.
Mm-hmm. That moment when she first sees her in the road and she's like, oh, she looks just like me.
I love that. And it's so different than what we experience as humans.
Yeah.
But in that show, it made perfect sense. Just that connection. Mm-hmm. And I kept wanting that last week's episode to be shown this Sunday. I mean, perfect for Mother's Day. It was really great.
Oh, yeah. There was something else. I forget what it was. There was something else. It feels like they scheduled a couple of the episodes to take place on certain days, mm-hmm. and then they got bumped ahead a week or something like that.
Right.
But definitely, let's see here. What other points do I have here? I really liked the author and Rumpel kind of teaming up there at the end.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting, though, that the author, and I talked about this on the Heroes and Villains panel, too, but it felt like the author was just trying to find somebody to put a story in the book, like somebody to give him a story where he could, and I mean, it all depends on what his motivations are going to be on, be going forward or revealed as tonight. But I think he was just looking for someone to give him a story so he could slip a few little key points that he wanted to kind of address mm-hmm. in there in his own life. Do you guys have any ideas about what that might be? What do you think the author's motivation could be in all this?
Well, I mean, it comes back to kind of what we were saying with the mm-hmm. potential of you know, fate and the sorcerer and sort of where does he play into this? And, mm-hmm. you know, could we get something more with it? I mean, when we met him as just sort of the peddler and, oh, who's this peddler? And of course he was going to have more to do than just this peddler, but.
Peddle.
Peddle. Just, what are you doing? I'm peddling.
Do, 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 do.
But it's such a specific skill set to be that guy, the mm-hmm. guy who can make all of this real and come to life and have that power of influence that, like, in my head, I've always sort of had that thought of, like, maybe it's you. Maybe you're actually some, like, the sorcerer escaped somehow and has, mm-hmm. you know, taken up this guise as the author. And I'd like to potentially see that. It could be interesting. And
yeah, like a double, triple, quadruple twist kind of
all
thing.
All the twists, like 50 blinds, you know. The scientists doing the study are actually ones being studied by the people in the study by the aliens. I
mean, exactly.
It was X-Files. That's what would happen. I don't know. I mean, I've had this horrible thought, too, of like, oh, they're just going to kill him. They're going to kill him, and we're going to be trapped in, like, you know, Heroes and Villains universe mm-hmm. After this week's finale. But I would like to see him become... He can be pretty shady too. Maybe like him and Blue have something went on that maybe he's trying to like, again, like a double blind back on the sorcerer who wants things to go one way. And actually he's just working for Blue Shady.
Maybe the author is actually Blue. I like that. Blind moan. Mind blown rather. Okay. So, actually that's a really interesting idea you bring up though. Like what do you guys think that we're going to get kind of a new continuity or something out of this? Or do you think it's going to all reset back? Cause I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, character threads out there that they need to, seal off. Like, well, they did, Snow and Charming and Emma last week and everything, but, you know, there's a lot of, character moments there that they kind of have to pay off that they've been setting up all season. So it feels like, it won't be like a hard reboot or something, but what do you guys think?
About tonight's episode?
Yeah, about tonight. Do you think towards the end of it we're going to get like a reset back to the reality we know?
I do. I think we're going to see a moment like Welcome to Storybrooke when Regina realized what she really wanted wasn't what she thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end when the heroes all are, when the villains all get their happy ending, they'll realize it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, we want to go back. Like Lost, we want to go back, you know. And that's what I think. It's like a Fantasy Island episode.
Yeah.
It actually just is Lost, and we just go to the island.
There you go. Jorge Garcia will be waiting there. Hey, guys, we got food. So
we're good.
Like, I don't know. If they come up with a new author or something, I would almost like to see a season where they do, like different versions of the timeline, like mm-hmm. the whole season. Because over the hiatus back in January, we did a bunch of specials called Once If, where we asked questions about, like, I don't know, what if Rumpel didn't become the Dark One? Or, and it came up in this week's episode, what if Selena wasn't in the story at all? And so I think that could be kind of a fun thing. Kind of make it, take the characters and the content or the concepts we know, but then make it kind of like an anthology series for a season or a half season.
I think we need a five-year-old author. Some little girl or boy writing.
Child.
Snow goes outside, has fun, then goes back inside. Done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, or it could be Game of Thrones. I mean, we got dragons.
Everyone is brutally murdered.
See?
Oh.
Snow was naked. There were dragons in the sky.
Wow. Okay.
Well,
they
may
have
turn.
To move to 10, but, you know.
Okay, yeah. So what do you guys want to see in tonight's episode? What do you think is going to happen in tonight's episode, realistically? I mean, we'll get into the crazy predictions in a minute, but realistically, what do you think is going to happen?
My crazy predictions are so much more fun. My crazy predictions are a lot more fun than my realistic ones. I will say that. Realistically, I it's just been my thought, and with this whole heroes and villains thing of how do we up the stakes? And you know, Horowitz has said, like, season 5 expects a change of state, or like a change of... It's not going to be, oh, we did Frozen that time. We went to Wonderland that time. It's something is going to change fundamentally about the show, be it a character death, stuff that happens in this episode. And the only thing that could hit me that would be like a huge change of state is if we get stuck in heroes and villains or in some variation, like you said, that possible free mythology is what if the author dies and we don't know who the new author is and we have to go, it's some quest to find him or it is like a jumping thing. And because that's a fundamental change of the show. If you go totally topsy-turvy, even for just half a season, there's really, that's the biggest you can go. How do you come back from that? And how do you do anything different than saying, actually, everyone that you've fundamentally gotten to know, everything that you understand about the show is inverted for 12 episodes, and then we work it out, but let's do that. Yeah. I mean, I want to see him die. I want to see him die. Big blaze of glory moment. And then it's just like, well, this sucks. Oh.
Okay, how about you, Jeff?
I think it's going to be really the look on Regina's face, Rumpelstiltskin's face, as a hero, when they kind of have that double, when they realize, and it really, they have this epiphany, I am a hero for the first time in my life. I'm getting everything I wanted. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know they're going to look at the camera and go, you know, it's like, I mean, that's going to be the best fun. Mm. And I think that's what's really great, because we're so used to these characters being evil, not good, doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And so
I should also say I'm also kind of looking forward to the potential of Hook as sort of like a lame guy do-good pirate. Like, is he going to be back in his, like, before he was a pirate self, or is he just going to sort of be like, I can't really steal your stuff,
I almost feel like
I got a boat.
I almost feel like he's going to be a cripple married to Mila. Like, I think that would be very fit. That seems like Rumpel's sense
just
of humor.
Just no hand, no hook, just this, like, stump.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of just like plowing through the dirt with just a stump.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be good, and I really like that they're doing such a fanficky concept, because I'm a guy who's been reading fanfic. Like, I used to read Lois and Clark fanfic back in the 90s.
I wrote Lois and Clark.
The 90s were
fanfic.
Nice. You shouldn't go there, though. you know, so it's just nice to see such a fanfic concept it being done as canon, too, which is kind of cool. And it kind of it makes sense with the whole, like, meta-narrative of the author and stuff, too, for sure. As far as me for a realistic prediction, I think that I think Emma is going to break up with Hook and start dating Mr. Gold. That's my crazy prediction.
Oh.
So I guess...
you skipped ahead, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I did.
All right.
Liz, are you out there? Excellent. We're going to go... Give out some prizes here. If you want to bring up the box real quick.
Prizes?
So I can show them off.
Incredible.
Yeah, this is Liz, one of our listeners.
Really,
give it up for Liz. Come on, Dance Squad. Give it up for Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Jeff, I'll let you describe these since you donated them.
Oh, these are special cookies. They are Once Upon a Time cookies. One is a hot cocoa and cinnamon cookie, which is baked at a gourmet place close by. The other is an apple pie cookie. It's not cursed, nor will it put you to sleep. But after the premiere, you probably, or the finale tonight, you may go to sleep. Anyway, the third one is the Beck's inspired green tea chocolate chip cookie. There's also some very nice chocolates in there. So if you're having a bad day, you might want to pull this out, or you might want to eat it tonight from 8 to 10. So.
Yeah, and the way we're going to do it, we have a ton of prizes. So we're going to do it. Oh, yes. We'll get there. Just one second. Okay. I was going to show you guys the prizes first. Then we have a Captain Swan hoodie.
Oh.
Very nice.
Yeah, Dance Squad.
And we have the new Marvel Comics Once Upon a Time graphic novel.
Yes.
It looks so good.
Signed by Bill.
I can.
See?
But
See?
You might want to not have me sign it, because it will be worth less. Completely random, a CD of jazz covers of video game music.
Hey.
And then 3 copies of my book, because I'm a total promotion whore. So
there we go.
Okay,
he's a writer, too. beside that.
Yeah, yes, definitely. But what we're going to do here is, in order to be eligible, you need to raise your hand, and we're going to do crazy predictions. These are just like completely outlandish, the funnier the better, things you think might happen in once going forward. And what we'll do is we'll call you up here, and then we'll all decide whether you stay or go. And if someone goes in the stay column, they stay. If someone goes in the go column, they get to pick one of the lesser prizes. This is the grand prize right here, the Captain Swan hoodie. And then they get to go back to their seat or whatever. So, okay, anyone have any crazy predictions? You. Yeah, you can come up here. Here, I'll put the mic on.
Okay, so there's a new curse that gets created, and everybody has to work at a hotel with all these crazy people. And then all of a sudden, you see this bedroom, and Adam wakes up, and he goes, "Wake up, wake Edward, Eddie, wake up. So I just had this crazy dream where I was writing this really good show, and all of a sudden, I had this stupid idea of making him all crazy and all that stuff. And then before you know it, it pans out. And you see a snow globe of Storybrooke in the hotel and everything. And then you see Henry, and he's autistic. And Don't Stop Believing from Journey starts playing. And he's about to say something. And then it just cuts to black before he says it.
Very nice. A St. Elsewhere reference, actually. I'm putting once in the St. Elsewhere verse. Okay, well, I guess we have to vote as a formality, but he's the only one up here so far, so... Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah? We're keeping him? All right, go over here for a minute. Okay,
we've come up.
Snow Globe and Journey's always good.
You asked the question. We'll get to you guys back there in a second. All right, so what's your prediction here?
Mine's kind of dumb, but I predict that I'm going to be a new member and that Grump is going to fall with me, Lee, because he was flirting with me outside.
Okay.
You know what?
I think
Captain Swan hoodie would be a great. I think a Captain Swan hoodie would be like a great way to attract him in and everything. So what do you guys think? Do we keep her and lose him, or do we keep him and lose her? Show of hands.
We got a rotating door.
I just like the St. Elsewhere thing, so I'm going to keep my hand down. What do you guys think?
I like the snow globe. I have to admit, I'm all for a happy grumpy, but I.
The St. Elsewhere thing is just too good. Well, here, you get to pick a prize.
So see, pick a prize. Come on up.
What do you want here? Do you want the cookies? Do you want the graphic novel? The CD? The hoodie actually is the grand prize, so.
Keep this safe for now. Oh, man, that's a nice one.
Cookies are good. Cookies?
Okay, there you go.
Okay, we got cookies going on.
Enjoy.
Okay,
nobody wins, I'll just take the hoodie myself.
Green overalls, I think, over there. Yeah, if you want to come up. Here we go. I'll come over here.
That's the fun corner of the room over there.
Selena's going to have her baby, and then Rumpelstiltskin is going to think that it's so cute and ditch Belle and be with Selena.
I like that one. I like that one.
Yes. I'll keep her.
Okay, so I guess, guys, show of hands. Is she the new winner, or do we keep him and lose her?
I like her.
Yeah, probably.
That's
so,
a good one.
Yeah, you're in the lead right now.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Go ahead and pick, what prize do you want? The graphic novel. Okay. What's
yes,
your name
indeed.
Again? Curtis. I saw you at the ball last. Very much.
Rigged or planned or,
No. Well, you didn't win the grand prize, so obviously it wasn't rigged or planned. Okay.
We're
so
all winners.
If you want to go ahead and come up
Wincers
here.
Wincers are winners. Don't forget that.
Okay. Next person, parental advisory t-shirt right back there.
Yeah.
Dance squad. Let's go dance squad.
Dun, dun.
So I was thinking that in the final season of the show, they're going to bring Jafar on as the final villain. And he's going to try and change the laws of magic like he did in Once in Wonderland. And he's going to bring all of the villains that have been on the past in the show. And that's just going to be like the final arc of the show. And they're going to have to try and solve everything going on.
I like that. We were actually talking in the Heroes and Villains panel the other day about the potential of maybe like they do like a 2 or 3 episode story arc where they all go to Wonderland would be really cool too. But I'm going to keep my hand down just because I didn't like Jafar very much in Wonderland. But what do you guys think? My hand's down right now. Down.
I want a villain battle dome. I just want like all out, like, I mean, almost Marvel MCU status, 20 villains versus our heroes
Crisis
in the
on
woods
Infinite
in
Once Upon a Time.
Crisis of Infinite enchanted forests.
But are we going to keep her?
I'm going to keep.
Let's keep her. Let's keep her. I like all the villains, the person who invented spam, everything. That's great. Let's bring them all. Everybody.
Okay. So, what prize do you want here? Do you want cookies, book, CD?
Cookies.
Yeah, the cookies are the
good.
Oh,
they're good.
I want to definitely. Cookies.
Yeah, thank you
for
go
playing.
Ahead and come
Excellent
up here.
Work.
You're the new one. You can come up on that side, I guess.
All right.
Let's see here. I'm just making sure there's no one else on this side of the room. Okay, you back there. Right there.
Yeah.
There we go. Dance Squad is walking away with all the prizes.
Here she comes.
We're pitting Dance Squad against each other.
Part of your world.
Oh, no.
I have a theory that Goldilocks is Rumpelstiltskin's mom. Her and Peter Pan fell in love, and then she left him because she was, like, scared. And so then she's going to come back to Storybrooke one day and, like, find Rumpelstiltskin.
I like that a lot, and that's something we've never really got the story of what happened to Rumpelstiltskin's mom either. Like, I really like that one, and I like Rumpel, so I like exploring his backstory. So I'm going to put my hand up for that one. What about you guys?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fair enough. All right, you get to pick a prize. The CD of video game jazz.
Winner.
Excellent. And I'm sorry for the people who are going to get stuck with my book. okay, so let's see. Crazy, you back there. Right there, like four or five seats in from the end. Yeah, right there.
I think it'd be fun to start showing the finale right now and have this horde of people just running in.
Trample everybody.
Great.
Okay, here you go.
So I had an idea, like, Rumpelstiltskin takes Zelina's baby and pops it into Belle. So, like, Belle believes that it's Rumpelstiltskin since they were, like, previously married. So, like, she's forced to go back with Rumpel and kind of helps him since its heart is, like, going dark.
I like that. And that's something that there have been some preview clips that have kind of been telling the rules of the book or anything, but they haven't addressed whether, you know, what's going to happen with that baby, right? Because it feels like all the characters are getting recast, but they're still going to be, you know, if they have a scar, they have a scar sort of thing. But what do you guys think? Keep or leave? I'm going to unfortunately leave.
My vote's still for Battle Dome, so. I'm sorry, Battle Dome, but no. Goldilocks.
Okay. Jeff?
I vote nay.
Vote nay. Okay, sorry about that. But let's see here. I think we just have the books left. Sorry about that. Here we go. The Trials of King Sparrow, a fairy tale. bit.ly/King Sparrow. Plug, plug, plug. Okay, let's see here. Anybody else? Pink. I think pink. It's hard to see with the lights. The game is narrowing for this hoodie.
I think that Rumpel is going to have, for his happy ending, he's going to have to choose between Belle and having Neil come back, and I think Neil's going to come back.
I love that. Hey, wait,
whoa,
stay here.
Whoa,
we
where are you
yet?
Going? Hey.
Yeah, because my hand's up in the air.
Yeah,
my hand's way
I
up
like
in
it.
The air.
I like it.
I miss Neil.
Good choice.
So close. Thank you very much, though. And yeah, if you want to go ahead and come up here, and we have one prize left, and then whoever's left up here gets the hoodie. So anyone want to try... sunglasses back there. There you go. Second row back there.
It's down to two.
Dun, dun, that's Miss Sunglasses.
Dun, dun, dun. What's that?
That's Miss Sunglasses.
Yes.
Miss Sunglasses at Night, I think is her full name. Excellent. Okay, here you go.
I feel that with Zelina's new baby, I feel like she's sketchy with it. Like, I feel that the baby's not Robin's. It might be Rumpel's.
That would be even a wickeder twist than the wicked twist that we got a couple weeks ago. I'm going to keep my hand down just because I don't want that to happen. But what do you guys think?
Pulling one over on Robin again? I mean, I kind of like when he suffers a little bit. Like,
Robin Hood is a character who lives in anguish.
No, I love it. Sure. I know. It's great.
What do you think?
Do I want to just continue to ruin his life?
What's that?
Do I just want to continue to think about ruining his life? I don't know, but Neil, man, I miss Neil.
Neil would be good to have back, and my co-host Anne-Marie would want Neil back.
Oh, Anne-Marie would be psyched if Neil was back.
Oh, for sure.
Neil back would break the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure.
Literally.
Twitter.
Not Kim Kardashian.
We wouldn't be able to talk about it on the internet because it would break the internet. So.
I say nay.
I know. I want to see Neil
so
back.
So sad,
I'm sorry.
So bad. But here's a book. Thank you very much. And you win the hoodie. Congratulations.
Yes.
Da, 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 da.
Excellent.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it in good stead. And you should probably sue them too because they stole your idea.
But wait, but I want to see this though. I need to hear the other half of your theory. What's going to happen to Belle if Rumpel doesn't get his happy ending with her and he has to choose? What's going to happen to Belle? You got to have thought of it.
She'd probably get killed in like the...
Oh, that's true. True.
Yeah, but weren't the, wasn't that during the Ogre Wars too? Maybe she might, get off during the Ogre Wars too, potentially.
Well, yeah. I mean, she got the whole thing with Will going on now too, but I kind of want to see, like, if there was the choice, what would that play out for her? Does she,
Will, don't get me started on Will Scarlet. such a waste of a character this season and such a great character on Wonderland.
True. Bill, how do you feel about Will?
Yeah, exactly. What happened to Anastasia?
Tell me how you really feel about Will Scarlet.
I think he's cute. I think he's dreamy. Honestly. Something that we brought up in Heroes and Villains I should probably throw out here just in case it turns out to be right. I think that Will is related to the author somehow and that breaking into the library because he knows there's a connection between physical books and other realms. Yeah, and I think he's going to become a bigger character next season for sure.
I hope they give him some more to work for next season. He kind of just was a sad drunk man this whole time.
Well, then you have a thief and then this page appears. Mm-hmm. I started to kind of put things together, but if he's related to the author, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I guess we'll wrap up here talking just a little bit about fan casting in general and doing a podcast about a particular fandom and everything as me and Jeff do and as Becca. I mean, she's been on the show a bunch of times.
I'm just Becca, here.
She's a good talker as well. But Jeff, what's your general approach in analyzing the show on the podcast and everything?
Things that really jump out to me, what's nice is there are a lot of great Once Upon a Time podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to kill myself and scrutinize every single thing because there's a lot of, it's like ice cream, chocolate, tutti frutti, you know, whatever you want.
Whatever your taste.
And we take the things that really resonate with us and we discuss things that I think affect us in real life. Talk about love, about revenge, how dangerous it is going down the wrong path, these warnings in life. And so that's kind of how we take it.
As far as us, our fans have described us as absurdist slapstick, and it feels like an after party, more or less. But we try and keep it light. We have a good time. We're very jokey, if you couldn't tell. We basically like just because we want to walk very carefully on the line of like because we understand that Everyone has very passionate feelings about this, and we want to come off in our criticism of the show and our analysis of the show as fair as possible. So we follow three basic rules and answer three basic questions. And that was what was done, how well was it done, and was it worth doing? I looked up the proper pronunciation of his name, Goethe, I think, or Gautier or something, but a big theater think tank kind of guy. But what was done, you have to identify the genre. This is genre. This is things like that. Like, for example, Once Upon a Time, it's a primetime TV show on ABC geared towards a family audience. So you have to keep that in context. How well was it done? Did it accomplish that goal? Was it a good primetime television show for family audiences on ABC? And was it worth doing? And that's where you get into more of the personal opinion, like, did that suck? Was that good? Et cetera, et cetera. But, kind of trying to keep those questions in mind and break it down that way has always been very useful to us to make sure we come across as fair as possible. But sometimes we bitch just to bitch, too. You know what happens? What have been some of your favorite, cause I mean, the one fan base is super passionate and everything. What have been some of your favorite, listener interactions? I say fan, but they're fans of one, so they're also fans of the podcast. It's complicated and weird and murky, but not too murky.
Favorite interactions. I think when we get an email from a pilot or a guy in a subway that says they listen and when they're doing their job or traveling, it amazes me because I keep thinking, I'm uploading it and it's two guys in Russia listening. And it amazes me when people say, no, I listened to you and you were talking about your dog and talking about this. It's amazing to me. So it's all those different places where people listen. I think that's the most fun, incredible thing to me because I still, it's mind boggling.
Yeah, we have a listener named Dave from Michigan. That's his full legal name. But he always calls in Monday morning on his way to work after watching the show, so you always hear, like, the wind and the traffic and everything. It's a lot of fun. Like, I don't know. I just really liked it because, I mean, the longer people write in and stuff and the more you build these relationships, the more they stop feeling like listeners or people just sending in feedback to get their voice heard, and they start feeling more like friends, which is really cool. And, like, we have like a kind of tight-knit community of probably like 20 or 25 of our listeners that are just like there every time for us. And it's so nice to know that, you know, no matter how bad work sucks on Monday or whatever, at the end of the day, I get to go sit down in my office and hang out with my friends for an hour to talk about, you know, one of our favorite shows.
I don't want to get too geeky, but I just want to say this, is I've noticed that the listeners ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. When they enjoy the show, they're all in, listening, downloading, tweeting. When Neil dies, the whole thing just goes down.
Just mass sad.
Blows away.
On the floor.
And things change, and then it comes back with a new kind of a group. So that's what I've noticed, is it's not as a tight-knit unit. Season one was kind of phenomenal for us. We had that. But then as things kind of progressed into season two and three, and it's a constant kind of a ebb and a flow. And people come, new people, people leave, and
I always hate when I hop in the Gmail and like search for something and I see a name I haven't heard from in a while. I'm like, oh man, they must have just drifted off the show or whatever.
Yeah.
I missed them. We also some of our listeners even help us as far as like producing the podcast too. Like that Once If specials, those were an idea of one of our listeners who's super active with us and everything, Hope Molinax. By the way, thank you very much, Hope, because she helped arrange us to come here to RegalCon.
Hope rocks.
Oh, for sure. And we share a lot of listeners too, right? I'm thinking of ones I've heard on your show that write into ours. Like I think Chris Tipton, Alina Harris.
Yep.
All that. But it's great too because then actually, sometimes, like, in our chat room, when we record, people bring up, like, points you brought on your show, and Jeff said this, and then we get to kind of respond to you, so it's like a mild kind of back and forth with us without maybe you guys realizing it, because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't listen to any other Once podcast until at least after we've done the episode, and then I still kind of try and stray away just because I don't want to repeat content intentionally.
True.
You know, so. Okay, let's see here. What time we got here? It is a 4:43. Okay, we have a couple minutes. Does anyone have any questions? Any questions? Or I'm going to sing Part of Your World.
Oh, boy.
No questions. Look at this stuff. Isn't it
neat?
No. Wouldn't you think the election's complete?
Unexpected.
Wouldn't you think I'm the girl? The girl who has everything.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
No,
we can't. Into the woods. No, but I guess that's about it then. If you want to check out the podcast, greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @BillMeeks. And I almost called you Anne-Marie. Becca, you have much shorter hair than she does. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, people can find me on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and YouTube at my name, Becca Knote. I think it was like in my little lower third thing. It's on the program. It's in places. It's my name.
It's around.
I'm just around. Go on Bill's Twitter. I'm there sometimes too.
Yeah, I give her the login credentials. It's weird. Jeff, where can people find you online?
Let's go to Twitter @OUAT podcast. That's where we're the most active, I think.
Excellent. And if you're a regular listener to Greetings from Storybrooke, we'll be doing our episode on the finale Tuesday this week, because I'm going to be flying back from RegalCon tonight right after the finale. I'm actually going to miss the last 5 minutes, which I'm sure something crazy is going to happen. But thank you guys so much, everyone who came out here at RegalCon today and everything. And you guys want to do it with it? Until next time, greetings from Storybrooke. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And we're back. There we go. Okay, that's better.
How many times can we hear that tonight?
The theme song, yeah. But I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yes, definitely.
I know there were some audio issues when they did the initial live stream, so hopefully my slightly doctored up audio helped you out with that a little bit.
It definitely helped me, because I found things in that I hadn't seen the first time I watched it. I was like, oh,
Into the woods.
That. Into the woods.
Yeah, we had to get some singing in there, right?
Always. I mean, that,
greetings, our brand is singing. Bad singing.
bad singing. Anyway.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit about the old convention. I'm trying to think of how to do this. Maybe I'll just kind of, Hope says in the chat room, I don't remember how I got you to RegalCon, but I'm glad you went. You talked to people at Enchanticon, told them they should invite podcasters,
yes.
And then they reached out to us. So
yes,
that's how Hope was partially responsible for us going to RegalCon. It also, we paid a lot of money to fly there and stuff, but it's fine. I know, but I guess, yeah, I'll go ahead and just go day by day. Basically, you know, Friday was all day flying across the country and everything, working on my writing stuff, and you know, then eventually landing at LAX. I was hoping to be there by in enough time to catch a Jeff and Colleen from Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, yes. Panel. Unfortunately, I missed it because my shuttle driver decided to drive all over the
entire
Anaheim area. Yeah. Like I ended up being like the last drop off. But I get there and I you know, I get my bags out and I'm walking up to the front door, and who comes running out to see me but Liz?
That's awesome.
Yeah, our listener Liz, who was on our
round table. Oh, hey, there she is.
She knew. Excellent. Yeah, but so Liz is right there, and she just comes up, runs up to me and everything. She'd been kind of texting back and forth with me on the trip and everything. So we got a quick picture, and then we went ahead and I met up with my friend Adam for a couple minutes because he was out there. So met up with him, got my badge and everything, got in there for the kickoff panel.
Woo!
And the 45 Spacer concert, which really good band and everything. I'm old and I couldn't hang for the entire concert.
You'd also made a cross country
trip. Yeah.
Yes. Speaking.
Definitely. So I went back to the room, chilled out for a little bit and everything. And then we went to, okay. What are you doing?
The shadow was confusing me.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what is this thing right here? I was like, there's nothing in front of the camera.
But,
sorry.
So, you know, I got dressed and everything, went up to the first, meet and greet. I think they called it the cocktail party. And the cocktail party is where there were a lot of like add-on tickets and everything. You get to a general admission. The cocktail party was one of them, and it was basically you got to walk around and schmooze with all the cast members and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And well, there was a little bit of an issue with someone who shall remain nameless, but we got it all sorted out.
Voldemort.
Yeah, exactly.
She who must not be named.
But so you know, we got all that resolved, and it was really cool. I hung out with Jeff and Colleen a lot. Got to go around, talk with Lee Ehrenberg, Grumpy. I talked to Whale a little bit that night. Michael Coleman, Happy, really cool dude. He runs like a casting agency in Canada.
Oh yeah, we need to have him on.
Yeah,
we
definitely.
We have a few people that we need to reach out to.
Well, and he was so great too, like because he had his daughter and his wife with him and everything to bring them to Disney for the first time and everything. But you know, she was like cosplaying as like Elsa and everything else.
Well, of course. Because she's like seven, right?
Yeah, so maybe a little younger, but you know, they're dancing at the ball and everything. Really fun times. And you know, I got to talk to some who else did I talk to there? I talked to Beverly, Granny, and she was a lot of fun too. And a lot of these people knew of our podcast too, which I thought
awesome.
Was really, really neat. Like,
famous.
Super famous. Nobody, they all, as soon as I said greetings from Storybrooker, they saw the t-shirt or whatever, they knew what I was talking about. So confirmed, they do know us. They are aware of us.
We weren't crazy when we saw the downloads.
What is going on in the chat here? Wizard Lizard?
Because Liz popped in as soon as we mentioned her.
Oh, okay. So
we called her Voldemort, and now you're a wizard, Liz, and it's exploded.
No, but that was fun. It was a little bit, Sean, Robin, Amy P. asked in the chat room, Sean, Robin, was not there at the cocktail party. I was kind of tired and everything, so I went straight to bed, didn't hang out partying or anything like that. And
old.
Yes, very old. Very old. So the next day, we had a press conference first thing, and then there was a lot of running around. I'm trying to remember.
I like that you have to refer to the blog post to help you out.
Oh, yeah. If you want to, I did full big detail blog post over at the website greetingsfromstorybrooke.com where we go through a lot of this. Well, first of all, we had this guy named The Apprentice that Patty actually sent in to us that I took around all three days and got pictures with people. Here's one with Liz. Liz and Jeff and Colleen. Yeah, let's see. Here's
that's you,
Liz, and then Jeff, Colleen from Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Eric Hansen.
dancing.
Dark Fury underscore MN on Twitter, if you know him. It was really great, too, because he came over when I was kind of scouting the room a little bit for the panel and just talked to me and started talking me up about DC Comics and stuff. And he wants to come on Legends of Gotham and stuff.
Oh, that's right.
We need to arrange that, Eric, if you're listening.
Eric,
sometime.
Please email us. We'll forget.
Yeah, definitely. But and then he actually he came over before Lana's panel started on Saturday and was talking to me. And then the panel was starting. I was like, you know, just stay there. You're fine. Because I was up in the press seating and the photo seating. I was like, yeah, just stay there. Sure. It'll be fine. So he got a nice up front seat, too, for the panel. And here's Joshua Reed Davis. Josh. But no,
sorry.
He was kind of the MC for the event, and I've worked with him to get some photos and stuff from the event for him too. So, really nice guy, super nice guy, and everything.
Was he a little weirded out when you were like, "Hey, can you hold this thing and take a picture?"
Not at all. He was super friendly about it. Because I mean,
it's just.
And Hope says that she loves Eric. You know, from the Twitters and everything. Oh, and Liz says she can help me remember stuff. Definitely, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
If I get anything wrong, you know,
please,
definitely
please correct us.
Correct me for sure. Okay, but let's see. Back to, what was it? We were on day two here. So, yes. You know, and then there were some press events and stuff, which I have recorded. I have video and audio for that we'll be releasing a little later this summer. You can probably catch them on AfterBuzz TV or something if you want to.
If you just can't wait.
Yeah. But then let's see here. I forgot to mention that just – I got to hang out a ton with Jeff and Colleen from Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, and they were just bang up people. Like, absolutely love them. Like, actually, here, if you're looking at this photo here, this is where we ended up meeting up a lot. This was kind of like the little cafe downstairs, and this is where I would go eat and write up my blog post and everything.
Hang out with Liz.
And hang out with Liz, especially.
I think you texted this to me, and I texted mean things back because I was jealous.
Yeah,
yes.
But, you know, got to hang out with them a ton, and it was just a great time overall. And the thing was we didn't get to hang out nearly as much as I would have liked to, but we were all so busy running around. They did a lot of stuff from
the extra stuff.
Yeah, the extra stuff, like the dinner with the cast members and all that kind
of stuff.
Yeah, so they were running around doing that, and I was running around doing my own thing, especially Sunday. But we got to hang out quite a bit. Me and Jeff were on two panels together because he was on our panel, and then we were also did the Heroes and Villains, which I forgot to mention that. The Heroes and Villains panel was funny because it was the first panel on Saturday morning, and actually right after this picture was taken with me, Jeff, Colleen, and Liz was like, "You want to go to the first panel?" And then Jeff and Colleen were like, "Yeah, well, let's all go walk up together." So we all walk up together. They let us into the panel room, and then the host of the panel is just like, "Hey, anybody want to help us run the panel or whatever?" So me and Jeff were just like, "Bloop,
we got this."
Yeah, and I basically used it as a tryout or a run through for the content I was going to go over. At our panel. No, but we touched on other topics too, and that was a lot of fun. Liz says she's wearing her pretty dress that day. You had your Emma jacket the other 2 days, though, which was pretty cool too. Probably should have pulled that picture up.
Probably should have.
Where is?
There it is. Okay, there it is.
I don't think I can zoom in on it.
Can't
but
zoom on that.
Where is it? Here we go. Yeah, there's me and Liz right there. That's when she ran up to me right when we first got there. Okay,
hence he's making ridiculous faces.
Yes, exactly. I was loopy. Oh, yeah, by the way, they're going to release it some point. The panel, my favorite panel out of all the cast Q&A panels was the one with Dr. Whale. August and Grumpy. It was just they're all like really like three super chill kind of zen dudes, and it was just like a super fun panel. The one with Lana was really good too, of course. And you know, there was a lot of stuff I saw in there I liked. If you want to check out the blog post, you can get into details, and they should be releasing the video for those eventually,
I would hope.
So hopefully you will get to see those. I did like that Regina Lana said that she kind of approaches every period in the Evil Queen's life as a completely separate character, does, you know, separate research for each version of the queen and everything, which is a lot of fun. Okay, so we get to
Dance party.
Yes, the ball, which I did a ton of non-dancing at.
Weren't you like telling a dude how to dance
Actually, the guy who did the St. Elsewhere Elsewhere story.
Ah.
In the panel, I was giving him advice on how, because he was one of the only guys dancing, so all the girls wanted to dance with him, and he was just like walking away, and I was like, this group over here, just go over and dance, because I couldn't really dance with him, because I can't dance, of course. Although there was this one girl who came up to me and was like trying to get me to dance, and I was like, no, the only dance move I know is this, and like I did like the bus door opening, and she was like, oh, I love that one, that dance, and so she started doing it too, like trying to encourage me, get me encouraged to dance, and I was like, yeah, and you know what's even greater, like I was kind of trying to get her to be like, okay, he's gonna say yes, I'll dance with you or whatever, and then I was like, then you can do the other side. So I just switched over and she just wandered away. Let's see what's going on in the chat room here.
Hope's yelling at you.
Hope says that Mr. Ehrenberger is incredibly funny and speaks like a chill surfer dude at all times.
Yes,
you're right, Hope. He also had some really cool like philosophical stuff.
Lots of zen.
So yeah, the ball was great. I got to do most of my interacting with the cast members at the ball. There was one moment with Sean McGuire out on the little deck. There was a little deck outside of the ballroom where he was out there hanging out and everything. And I was like, hey, Sean, what's up? You know, Bill, greetings from Storybrooke. Ah. plug. And I was just talking to him about how Robin Hood is a character who like lives in anguish and how I love that about him and everything. He makes a certain face sometimes too when he's doing that. But so we were standing there he was standing there talking. I was sitting at a table and this little girl comes up. She probably like 6 years old. Aww. And she just pulls out this little homemade bracelet and she's like, I made this for you, Robin. And he like kneels down and he's like, well, can you put it on me, my lady? You know, he just went boom right into Robin Hood mode. And it was just like so cool to see it happen. And he just like, you know, he kissed her hand. Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, you can he's playing such an iconic role that, you know, even now, maybe a couple dozen guys have got to play ever.
Robin Hood. Yeah.
And you know, you can tell that he knows the responsibility of that and can kind of understand that and everything. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. Who else did I talk to? I talked to Gil a lot. Gil was a blast to talk to. And he was just like pleased as punch that he was even there.
I'm sure.
Like he was like, I was on 1.5 episodes. I mean, I shouldn't be here. But they invited me, so it's a party. What are they saying here in the...
Well, Liz said if she would have been there, she'd have made you dance.
Yes, I'm sure she would have.
Oh, next to you. I wish the chat was side by side with the video. Hard to watch and chat at the same time. Oh, yeah, that would be nice. I don't think we can do that.
Okay, that's fair. Excuse me. Let's see. So, yeah, the ball was a lot of fun. I'm trying to think of anything else major that happened. Oh, I did say hi to Dr. Whale on behalf of Hope, and he remembered her from Enchanticon in there. I think it was a dinner or something. I know you recorded it and released it as a podcast, but I tweeted Hope right away and everything to let her know. And you know, but he was really pleased to hear by proxy from you, Hope, for sure. Yes. And yeah, and I know you keep pressing me on details. That's pretty much all there is to the story. I'm trying to think of anything. Oh yeah, and Sean McGuire, I was telling him about my book,
Yes.
and he asked for a copy, so he has a copy of King Sparrow now. I don't know if he's ever going to read it or if he just was being polite and toss it in the trash.
I doubt it. You sort of had to go through a little bit to get it at the time.
This is the program, by the way, the RegalCon program here, and this is my panelist badge. I actually also have a press one in here for Becca, but no. Let's see. Okay, so ball happened. I ended up hanging out, till way late that night, probably like 1 or 2 in the morning. I like got into a big conversation about all sorts of stuff with this girl named Megan out on the veranda there. And then I came in and was partying with like Liz and some of the other people who were running the convention and everything. So really good time. Really good time. I made a choice to pregame by buying like 4 little bottles of wine at Target to like slam down before I went down. Saved me a lot of money. And treated me pretty well. Okay, so
magic juice.
Magic juice. I'm gonna take a sip right now.
It's empty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me too.
Okay, so Sunday, the day of the panel. I wake up and probably within like within a couple minutes, like I get a text message from Meredith, Meredith Placco, who was supposed to be our third for the convention and everything. So I get a text message from her that she's having like a medical issue and she's not sure if she's going to be able to drive herself to the convention. Mm-hmm. So at first I'm like, well, maybe I can find someone to drive you. And she's like, no, I might not be good to be on the panel at all. So I'm like freaking out trying to find a third and everything for like an hour or two. And then I basically give up on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like running around completely, completely super stressed and everything.
Of course.
But I eventually like I can't find a third or whatever. So I'm just like, okay, well, it's just going to be Becca on the panel. And by this time, it's like I think there was the Q&A panel with Gil and Granny and the dwarves going on. We had to leave early to go meet up with Becca, mm-hmm. go out to lunch and all that. And then it was the panel. And I was actually really scared because like the panel before our panel
was not so big.
Yeah, there were like 20 or 25 people there maybe. And it was a pretty huge room. The panel room was pretty huge. And I was like, oh, man, no one's going to be
no
there.
No one's showing up.
At yep. all.
Nobody's coming.
But luckily, no, we filled it out pretty good. It was maybe a little bit less than the last cast Q&A panel, but it was actually more than I was expecting based on how I'd seen the room fill up over the weekend.
Interesting.
So yeah, there were a lot of fun people there.
I wish you'd have taken a shot from the stage so we could have seen that.
I meant to, but life got in the way.
Ah, life.
Life gets in the way. But let's see. So, oh yeah, I was talking about this in the chat room while we were playing it. So we go in and we're talking about the penultimate episode of season 4 of Once Upon a Time, which was the previous week's episode. So we get into it, we start talking about it, and Becca does her point and then comes over to me and I realize I don't remember anything about the episode at all. Like my mind completely blanks. I can't even remember the plot. Luckily, Liz says she took some pics of us on stage. Liz, if you want to send those over.
We would appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, if you still have my phone number, you could even text them to me or something.
Nah, she deleted that and blocked you. She's over you.
I would, definitely. I would too. But my mind completely blanked. So luckily, I had my notes from the previous week's greetings episode with me, so I was able to just kind of reference them and read them off. But I eventually kind of like...
Slightly remembered,
and it turned out okay and everything. I'm trying to think if there's anything else major from the panel itself. After the panel, we had a good time at the panel and everything, and we went over to the little wine bar there for a drink afterwards. And all I'm going to say, and Liz will confirm this in the chat room for sure, is that there was a cast member there in the wine bar, and I did a face in the place.
In the space. It wasn't a race.
And it was bobbing good. I'll say that much.
It was bobbing good.
Yeah, and Liz can definitely confirm that. But it happened. It definitely happened. And then Liz took me for In-N-Out Burger, and it was amazing. It hurt me a lot because of my new dietary restrictions. Completely worth it. So we got done with that. She dropped me back off at the hotel, and I don't have the thing, but I do have this. Hold on.
Universe Boxio!
I came back and we were doing the finale mm-hmm. in the big room on the big screen and everything, watching it. And it was a little weird because it was through abc.com, so it kept like stuttering.
Oh, really?
Occasionally. There was, oh, what was it? I think it was one point it looked like Henry was about to die, and then it stuttered and he was gone. And we were like, what happened? But it was all good and everything until about 15 minutes before. Oh, by the way, Liz in the chat room says, LOL, yes, you did. Until about 15 minutes before the episode wraps up, it was the scene with the sorcerer's apprentice and Henry in Regina's office. I get a text message from my shuttle saying, you have to leave now. We're out here waiting for you. So I had to end up missing the last 15 minutes of the finale, and I didn't get to watch it until I got to the Houston airport and was able to find a copy somewhere. at the Houston airport, 6 or 8 hours later. So I was like sitting. Well, actually, I went online and looked up spoilers and everything. But overall, it was really good. I guess Liz says she sent some pictures to me here.
Sending pictures.
Yeah, I'll put these in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrook.com. Here's this one. Looks like Becca's falling over or something there. I think that's when she was just sitting down. Yeah, and then there's another one right there. Nice.
Love it. I have fun.
And then let's see. Oh, this one, the first one actually, Liz, is my favorite. That's a nice one.
Nice.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll put those in the show notes too. Okay, well, Liz, are there any other stories you can think of that I didn't tell? I tried to be pretty thorough.
I Anne-Marie, feel like you were pretty thorough.
Anne-Marie or anybody in the chat room, if they you have any questions. I have been kind of talking and not paying too much attention.
You are pretty talking tonight. They're pretty quiet now.
Are they?
Yeah, they've been pretty quiet. Let's see. I don't know. Oh, didn't they talk about next year?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely I won't say exactly what they talked about for next year, mm-hmm. but there's definitely going to be a greetings presence at RegalCon 2016, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we might want to buy jackets. From what I heard, that's all I'm going to say.
Which we're really going to want to buy jackets because the show's relocating to Florida here soon. our show, not their show, our show.
Yeah. Links in the chat room. I'll try and put this in the show notes. An article where Sean talks about being an actor to con and kind of the responsibility.
Nice. I think. Why didn't I just speak? Wasn't that? I can't think of it now.
That's fair. So no more questions.
No, it was good too. It was a good question. Oh, mm-hmm. No, it wasn't a question. Wasn't it that there were some other people at the viewing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That viewing that I had to leave.
Yeah. Like 75% of the cast was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like
Adam and Eddie.
Well, Lana and her family were there. Right. Adam and Eddie were there. I believe Henry was there.
Henry was there.
I don't think the author was there. Oh, yeah, and here's the quote from Sean McGuire. Entertainment is not like a business that you have to do. Anyone who doesn't like their celebrity or if you don't like the price of fame it comes with, you can quit. You can go and do a real job. So I don't hold a lot of stock with celebrities complaining about how difficult their jobs are. People who hold down multiple jobs, single moms trying to support a family, people who work down coal mines, I think they have the right to a bit of a moan. If you're too rich and too famous, oh, poor you, cry me a river. And then he goes on to say, I think I have a responsibility, like a convention. I feel that I myself have a responsibility to each person who comes up. They only get to meet you for 30 seconds, and I think it's important to try and give them a great experience. Be polite, smile, give them what they want. If you don't want to do that, you shouldn't be at the convention. If you're going to be miserable about it, maybe don't go. Or maybe that's don't be true. Robin Hood, because that's all Robin Hood does.
Do it.
Is he's miserable.
Do it.
Do what?
You know what I want.
Oh, sorry. Oh, man, my stomach hurts. Sorry about that. I think it's okay now. I think it's okay now. Okay. Oh, yeah. And Hope, definite credit to Anne-Marie for holding the home front down in the chat room, especially with the low audio issues and everything.
I know. People were like, I can't hear it. I'm like, can't he turn the volume up? I'm like, no. He's I can't text him.
I had no control over the technical stuff. No. I know. By the way, anyone who was in the chat room for it. I did go back and look at the logs later on. Thank you guys so much for all your kind words and everything. Mm-hmm. Not so much tonight because they weren't kind words.
Not
they
so
were
kind.
All mean.
No, yeah.
But in a good way. In a good-natured, friendly way. Oh, and I also just want to say, I guess one more thing to say is just like it was such a blast hanging out with Liz, honestly, mm-hmm. and having her as kind of like my helper. Mm-hmm. All weekend, and we had some really good meals, good conversations, kind of like talked a bit about what's going on in her life and everything. And like I said to her and to Becca at the show and to you when I got home, it's so much easier to be personal when you're in person, you know? And
right.
As close as we get to feel with you guys here every week, the in-person thing was...
It makes a difference.
A completely different level.
Well,
so.
Yeah. It's always nice to have friends mm-hmm. IRL instead of online.
Yeah, and definitely, I'm really hoping here in the next year we can do some more live stuff and maybe try and meet some more of you guys.
Do some meetups of some sort.
Definitely, because it was so great and so rewarding, and Once Upon a Time might not make it past season 5.
Let's just be honest, this could be it, folks.
We need to do some live events with you guys before it all wraps
up
and everything.
Well, let's just say everybody, start planning for
RegalCon
2016. Maybe we could party or something.
Oh, yeah, I'd be down with the party. If nothing else, just a bunch of liquor in our room. That'd be fine. I mean, magic juice.
Hold on, wait, who am I?
I have
a dagger. Pretend it's a dagger.
You are Emma.
Yes, you are right.
Emma. Oh, and Amy P in the chat room says, "Yeah, I was just about to say we need to do a greetings
meetup." We do. The hard part is mm-hmm. like everybody's really far.
Well, it, pretty soon, you know, it has been greetings from Atlanta for the past few years.
From Orlando.
Greetings from Orlando. So if you're ever coming down to Orlando for a Disney thing, let me and Anne-Marie know. We'll meet up with you. We'll go out for drinks or something. And Amy says she's near Dallas, so we're never going to meet
you, Amy.
I was in Houston.
Yeah, because that's close. It's the same state, and that's about it.
All right. Well, thank you guys, everyone, so much who came out for the live chat. And I hope.
Are we doing that thing?
What thing?
Afterward?
We are. Which thing? Oh, we are. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. We're not streaming it.
Oh, sorry. Never mind. Ignore me.
It's a production meeting for stuff.
Yeah. Thanks.
See, DragonCon. Yeah. DragonCon's in Atlanta. I don't see us probably
not coming back.
Although
up for
I will say that
there is that thing we
are the award they give out at DragonCon that we were nominated for last year. We're nominated for it again
for two shows,
for two different shows, for this one and for Legends. So,
so that would be kind of cool.
You guys really can't do anything. There's no public voting on it. But
nominated us, thank you.
If you have any best moments from the past year that you want to send along that I can include in the reel we have to send over to them, yeah, just shoot an email, greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com, and let us know.
That would be awesome.
Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up here. Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone.
And as for me, you can follow me online at bit.ly.
No.
You can follow me online at Phil Meeks, and you can buy the book.
bit.ly/KingSparrow
And you can follow all of our podcasts at universebox.com. Wait, what was that, Anne-Marie? What?
Universe Boxio.
Until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke. Oy vey.
I don't have author face
on here anymore. You took off author face.
No more author face.